Chapter 5. Kurik Masterson, founder of the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company of Belshire, stared at his clerk. Kurik had hired Samwell because he was young in his profession, thoroughly docile, and as malleable as bread dough. But after only a year of work, the young employee had said the words that signalled that Kurik would need to find another clerk to replace him.
"Mr. Masterson, you should look at this immediately."
As two other clerks before him, Samwell had noticed discrepancies he shouldn't have noticed. At least the poor lad had the innocent nature to assume the irregularities were the result of error or neglect, and bring them up to his boss for immediate attention. Kurik used his gnarled hands to pull his grey hair, stringy, long and greasy, into a ponytail. It smelled of market broiled meat and last night's rum, and Samwell involuntarily flinched as the bony face and beady eyes of his employer squinted in the dim light of the records room and reviewed the evidence spread out for him to peruse. Kurik didn't need to look, but put on a fine show of it anyway. The Aid Society's funds poured in regularly once Queen Philippa had added her stamp of approval. None of the nobles who contributed even thought about the money anymore. The funds simply purchased them a sense of their own goodness. No need to wonder where it went.
"I can see what you mean, Samwell," Kurik praised him disingenuously. "That was very sharp of you to catch."
The young clerk beamed back, proud of himself, and Kurik had to stifle the urge to grind his teeth. Finding another clerk was going to be tedious. Kurik needed someone who could do actual clerking, but at the same time he required a simple soul who was stupid enough not to notice some fairly obscure gaps in the bookkeeping.
"It's late, Samwell," Kurik said. "Let me buy you a drink and send you home."
The caravan master had left 2 days ago, so Kurik was going to have to do this little house-cleaning chore himself.
"Thank you, sir,"
Samwell said, still basking in the glow of his discovery. Kurik regarded him. The year spent hunched over in the dimly lit records room of the warehouse had bent the young man's frame and bleached his face to an unhealthy white hue. Dark raccoon circles framed his bloodshot eyes.
"Maybe I should cut a window into the room,"
Kurik thought, as he grabbed his shabby brown coat off the hook near the door. If his clerks had something to stare at besides books, perhaps they might enjoy longer tenures at the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company. Perhaps one of the spicy paintings of pretty ladies sold in the Bristol market would have the same effect, at lower cost and effort than a window. They emerged from the warehouse into the empty Morton district, the autumn evening chill and damp. Kurik did his best to endure Samwell's excited recounting of how he had tracked down the error. The previous clerk had smarts enough to realize what he had found and demand payment to keep quiet. Kurik wondered if perhaps paying him would have been wiser. Finding the right sort of clerk willing to work long hours in a room barely better than a prison cell was increasingly difficult in good economic times. At the very least, the poor conditions ensured that very few prime candidates ever darkened his door. The Morton district contained much of Belshire's shipping and manufacturing industry and was full of squat offices huddled next to hulking buildings. Just after sundown, most of the labourers had gone home, though officers and clerks often stayed until much later. Kurik guided Samwell south toward the Crooks, a dilapidated, impoverished part of the city with winding lanes, confusing alleys, and plenty of cheap ale.
"You sure it's safe to go in there after dark?"
Samwell asked worriedly, once he realised where they were headed. Kurik pulled a pecan from a bulging store in his coat pocket and cracked it with his teeth.
"We're just taking a bit of a shortcut to a place I know in Southgate. It's got some tasty little serving wenches."
Kurik was more interested in the river that separated the Crooks from Southgate. The Dodgers and Tufts in the Crooks knew Kurik and wouldn't pay him any mind. Kurik was never careless enough to carry anything of value while walking in Morton or the Crooks. They had already tried to boost money from him and gotten nothing but lumps on their skulls in return. Samwell's eyes and shoulders twitched and tensed with every raucous call and shuffling stranger as they ventured farther into the Crooks.
"Got no iron at all," Kurik judged. "Guess he gets by on his smarts."
Gradually, the uneven cobblestone through the Crooks gave way to a gravel path, winding through a small wooded area that acted like a fence, so the well-to-do of Southgate wouldn't have to suffer the sights of their uncouth neighbours across the river. Tall, bare oaks stretched their arms out above them, the bridge nearing. Samwell continued to crow about his discovery.
So, the more I think about it, the caravan master probably knew about the problems. In fact, I think he may actually be taking advantage of you, sir, Samwell opined. Of course, I couldn't prove that just with the books.
Really? Corrick said non-committally. I wouldn't say that anywhere near Dale's if I were you.
The caravan master was a mighty brute of a man with arms the size of hog shanks. Everyone at the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company feared him, Corrick included. Dale's worked for the money and the adventure, and cared little who was the boss or what he was ordered to do. Corrick needed him, though, for the man had no scruples either.
Time to get this ruse underway.
Did you hear that? Corrick said, angling off the road and stopping for a moment. Hear what? Samwell asked, following like a faithful dog.
The night was full of sounds, from in front and behind them.
I thought I heard someone yelling for help through there, near the river, Corrick explained, trying to act concerned. Come on! He jogged into the woods toward the water. Hello there! He yelled as Samwell followed, face perplexed. As they neared the wide river, Corrick slowed, darkness difficult for his worsening vision. He didn't want to end up in the river himself. I don't see anyone, Samwell said, arms wrapped around his chest. Corrick reached into his coat and grasped the handle of the thin, bladed knife he always carried. Look by the bridge, Corrick instructed, coming up from behind his clerk. I think I see someone moving over there. Samwell turned and exhaled a plume of warm breath as he gazed toward the bridge. I don't... Corrick rammed the knife into Samwell's back, and the clerk arched backwards, face fixed in a silent scream. A few more thrusts of the knife finished the job, and Samwell collapsed, eyes wide and face even paler than usual in the moonlight. After wiping the knife on his victim's pants to clean it, Corrick resheathed it and went in search of rocks to stuff in the corpse's pockets. It wouldn't do to have him resurfacing before the water ate away enough of his face and features to make him unrecognizable. Corrick took Samwell's boots and gloves to sell in the crooks on the way back, and searched the young man's pockets to make sure there was nothing in them that would help identify him. Now the tricky part. Getting the body into the river without falling in himself wouldn't be easy in the weak light. Tomorrow he would put an advertisement in the paper for a new clerk, and this time he would hire the right sort of fellow. There were enough clerks in Belshire that they should be hunted to keep the numbers down, but if any more of them vanished from the Boot and Wheel Caravan Company, someone was bound to notice.